The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Joining me in studio is the musician Darren Wharton, who you may know as a former member of Thin Lizzy. And of course, January 4th, this coming January, there's going to be a special dedication to Phil Lynott taking place, and Darren will be chief amongst those performing. Darren, thanks a million for joining us. When was it? When did you join Thin Lizzy?
1980.
How old were you in 1980?
Just 18.
So, see, this is what I find remarkable about you. So you were what, about 10 years old maybe when Whiskey in the Jar came out?
Maybe. What year was that out? I can't.
About 7 or 8 years. I think early 70s anyway.
Yeah, would have been not far off that. Yeah, very young.
So what was it like then, I mean, to be joining a band? I mean, put it this way, when you were in your teens, which is when most people have their musical awakening, they kind of begin to forge their own identity. This is what I like, as opposed to what my dad is listening to.
Right.
Were Thin Lizzy on that radar?
They were. They just had the Boys Back in Town, which was absolutely massive, as you know. The Boys, they've had Whiskey in the Jar, obviously, which is their first hit. They'd had Don't Believe a Word, that was a big hit in the UK. Yeah, and I was just a lucky guy. I went down for my audition, and they were in Good Earth Studios in London on Shaftesbury Avenue there. And I'd been brought down from a friend of Phil's who lived in Manchester. I was working in a nightclub in Manchester called Dino's Bar and Grill, on the piano. And they'd found out, he'd heard through the grapevine that Phil was looking for a keyboard player, because Gary Moore had left during the Queen tour. They were supporting Queen in America. Mm. Gary Moore had left the band. And then Midge would come in to sort of stand in for Gary Moore. So Midge couldn't really stand in for Gary, obviously, too much.
Yeah.
So to compensate for that, they put Midge on the keyboards a little bit.
Okay.
And that's what made Phil realise that he'd like to get a keyboard player in. And I was just in the right place at the right time. I went down to London, I met Phil and Scott. Scott had just had his hair cut, I remember that day, so I never met Scott with his long hair. Met Brian Downey, and I got on really well. Phil asked me what football team I support, and I supported United at the time, and he was pleased with that, and I did my audition, and that was it.
Well, that suggests that there was a possible wrong answer. Was he trying to weed out fans of certain clubs, was he?
No, well, Phil was a big United fan. He was good friends with George Best, who I met at one of the parties and things. It was brilliant. I always supported United, so he was happy about that.
Do you suspect if your answer had been City or Liverpool, your life could have gone down a completely different path?
Probably.
You must have been pretty prolific if you've just turned 18 and, you know, Phil is talking about you and wants to meet you and is sticking you in a band to replace Midge Ure.
Yeah. I was a good player. I was an excellent player, actually. I was classically trained, and I was, I'd gone through all that sort of playing all the standards and stuff. So I could play from, you used to call it playing by ear. Mm. So I could just listen to something and play it naturally without having to read the dots or anybody telling me what the music was. I could just sit at the piano and play it.
Yeah.
Or keyboard, whatever you want to call it, or organ, or, you know. So I was pretty good at that. And Phil had a great talent for recognising, sound big-headed or anything, but he did that with Rob Bowie, he did it with Scott. Brian Downey and Phil obviously were amazing, unique genius pair that worked together from the early days. And, you know, I think Phil just liked to work with people that he had a connection with as far as music was concerned. And I was lucky. He took a shine to me and kept me under his wing. And we did 3 world tours together, you know.
Yeah, so what was that like to get parachuted into a band that has already made its name, is already at that level? I know then you went off and did your own thing and you would have had the whole experience of building something up. But your first experience is
almost the baby of the band.
To go in when it's already done.
Yeah, they used to affectionately call me the baby of the band, you know. And they certainly took me under their wing, and they protected me in a lot of ways, you know. I mean, it was what what most people expect. It was real sort of sex, drugs and rock and roll. I mean, it was the real thing. And some of the experiences that I saw and went through were absolutely amazing, in a great way, you know.
Yeah,
it was absolutely an amazing period in my life, you know, that I'm very, very proud of, obviously. And now this whole thing in the whole thing with the dedication and the gig on the 4th is all really to remember Phil's legacy and the music of Thin Lizzy. And I mean, you know, we've been talking about that today.
More the rock and roll and less the sex and drugs, is it?
Well, absolutely, yeah. there's a new saying, isn't it? But no, I mean, the Thin Lizzy Facebook page is now over 1 million followers. There's a whole new generation of people coming up, discovering the music, you know. And, you know, that's why we're here, really. This whole thing on the 4th, the dedication at the arena, is all really about Phil and his music and a big celebration on what I was lucky enough to be a part of, you know.
How, because sometimes it might be hard for us to get a sense of how much of a musical legacy Thin Lizzy has because of that Irish connection, because of Phil and everything, you know what I mean? We're naturally just going to be proud of it and lean into it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you're speaking to people in the UK, how much of a legacy is there, like, of...
I think it's not just the UK. I think it's totally worldwide. I mean, we've just been discussing it earlier that, you know, if you go out anywhere now and you get most of the major rock bands like Guns N' Roses, you get Axl's a massive fan.
Yeah.
Metallica are a massive fan. You know, I remember meeting John Bon Jovi for the first time and John Bon Jovi couldn't believe that he'd met me, because I'd played with Phil.
That's mad.
You know,
yeah,
so
isn't it?
You get all these iconic rock stars of today, and there's not many that don't know Phil and his music and what he created. And not just Phil, obviously Scott Gorham, Brian Downey, and Robbo, and Gary Moore and John Sykes. You know, there was a unique group of people there that made some awesome, timeless music. And I even saw a TikTok video the other day with Lindsey Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
Singing, you know, jamming Thin Lizzy on his acoustic guitar and saying how amazing he is, and he's sort of rediscovered Phil Lynott. And, you know, so it sort of goes worldwide, really. And as I say, there's a whole new load of people discovering the music, and I'm just really proud and happy to be here sort of representing, you know, the band from my time with them.
Well, it's on, as you say, in January in the 4th in the 3 Arena, the dedication to Phil Lynott. Darren, it's been a real pleasure. Thanks a million for coming into us.
Absolute pleasure.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.